A reading from the Gospel according to St. Luke. There was a lawyer who discouraged Jesus, stood up and said to him, "Master, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" He said to him, "What is written in the law? What do you read there?" He replied, "You must love the Lord God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." "You have answered right," said Jesus. "Do this, and life is yours." The man was anxious to justify himself and said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man was on his way down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he fell into the hands of brigands. They took all he had, beat him, and made off, leaving him half dead. Now a priest happened to be travelling down the same road, but when he saw the man, he passed on the other side. In the same way, a Levite who came to the place saw him and passed on the other side. But a Samaritan traveller who came upon him was moved with compassion when he saw him. He went up, bandaged his wounds, pouring oil and wine on them. He then lifted him on his own mount, carried him to the inn, and looked after him. Next day, he took out 2 denarii and handed them to the innkeeper. 'Look after him,' he said, 'and on my way back, I will make good any extra expense you have.' Which of these three do you think proved a neighbor to the man who fell into the brigand's hands?" "The one who took pity on him," he replied. Jesus said to him, "Go and do the same thing yourself."
If there are any children or young people here that would like to go through to their group, now would be the time to do that. I should also say at the start, there are some slightly less steep stairs at the back here for those that are coming up to do readings if it proves challenging. At the time of the murder of George Floyd, his dying words echoed around the world, "I can't breathe." Whether the police officer did not believe him or did not care, the result was the same. Others stood or walked by and did nothing. George's words seemed to echo around the world with prophetic power. They spoke to others whose experience of racism have left them feeling they could not breathe. I was surprised and saddened to discover that many of my black and Asian colleagues and friends in the UK felt that these words reflected their experiences. I had thought that there had been such significant changes in race relations during my lifetime that this could no longer be their experience. I thought that because I like to think that I am colorblind, there was no longer any issue. I was shocked to discover I was wrong. Just because my friends had not spoken about their experiences, it did not mean that there were no longer any problems. I know that racist oppression is not the experience of every non-white person. Many, especially those who've come to our country in time of need, have found a warm welcome and acceptance. But we must listen to those who have had other experiences. Despite the testimony of those who are suffering discrimination, some do not believe that the inequalities and prejudices still exist, or that there is still discrimination on grounds of race, because they do not experience it. Let's listen and pay attention to the testimony of those who have different perspectives. Later in the service, we'll hear from some of who have witnessed prejudice, not just in our nation, but in our churches, and have sought to challenge it. In our reading, we heard Jesus challenging the prejudice of his own people. I'm sure many of you are aware that the Samaritans were hated and despised by the Jewish people of Jesus' day. They considered them ritually unclean. They wouldn't share a cup with them and would avoid passing through their territory, even taking a long detour to avoid them. The Samaritans traced their origins back to the northern kingdom of Israel when it divided from the southern kingdom of Judah, nearly 1,000 years before the birth of Jesus. They built their own temple on Mount Gerizim. This split deepened when they were allowed to remain in the land of Israel when Judah was exiled by the Assyrians in 733 BC. Samaritans and Jews choose opposite sides in every war after that. And 100 years before Jesus' birth, a Jewish army under the command of John Hyrcanus destroyed the Samaritan temple. The hatred and prejudice was mutual and deep. For the purposes of this morning's service, all we need to remember is that everyone knew there were no good Samaritans. Samaritans were evil, untrustworthy pagans. They could not possibly follow the law because they worshipped in the wrong place, in the wrong way, which is precisely why Jesus used a Samaritan in his example in this parable to illustrate who is our neighbour. By providing practical help to a stranger in need without regard to his race or religious background, the most unexpected person has fulfilled the great commandment and become a neighbour to the stranger. The expert in the law had asked, "What do I do to inherit eternal life?" Which is an odd question, because generally you don't do anything to inherit other than be related to the deceased. Nevertheless, Jesus goes along with the question and agrees with the expert in the law's answer. All he needs to do is love God perfectly and demonstrate that by loving his neighbour perfectly. This is all you need to do to inherit eternal life. "Okay," says the expert in the law, "let's just define who my neighbour is." This suggests to me that he's missed the point and he thinks he's in with a good chance of loving God perfectly and his neighbour acceptably, if he can just clearly understand who his neighbour is. Jesus responds with this parable, which emphasises that we're called to make even the stranger our neighbour. As we apply this passage to our service today, the most immediate connections are with unity in Christ. Jesus promised the Samaritan woman at the well Believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshippers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshippers must worship in spirit and in truth. Truth matters, but whatever our denominational buildings, whatever buildings we may worship in, the Father seeks worshippers who worship in spirit and in truth. This is the sort of worship which responds to God's unmerited love by loving others, like the Samaritan in this story. Relating this to our theme of racial justice, we first of all need to recognise that, like the Jews and Samaritans, there is a long historical road leading to our current situation. It's a history which includes periods of great injustice, such as the transatlantic slave trade, during which our nation amassed wealth from the exploitation of enslaved people. And we must not forget the estimated 1.2 to 2.4 million people who died during the voyage, and the millions more who died in the so-called seasoning camps in the Caribbean. It's a history that also includes moments of enlightenment, as a few fought for the abolition of slavery. But even this was marred by hypocrisy, as slave owners were compensated and enslaved people were not. It's been argued that the whole concept of race is linked with slavery, because to justify oppression of one people group by another, one must consider the enslaved people to be inferior. Indirectly, this led to apartheid and the colour prejudice in the United States and faced by many in the Windrush generation here, and which continues to this day. History matters because it informs our institutions, structures, and relationships today. It's not sufficient for me not to notice what colour someone's skin is, as if it's not relevant. Sadly, it is relevant for many today. Untangling of all of that in a just way is beyond me. But, like the Samaritan in Jesus' story, we can focus it down to the one person we meet who is in need. Jesus calls us, whichever side of the racial divide we may stand, to recognize our neighbor is the one who is in need, no matter what their creed or color. To remember that we are all saved by the unmerited love of God, and hence are to have compassion on each other. So as we listen to some experiences today, let's hear their cry, "I can't breathe," and seek to understand and help rather than walk by on the other side of the road. And let us correctly identify these brothers and sisters come not as robbers to attackers, but as those who come to bandage our wounds. Amen.